Hello, this is Tim from Two Blokes from Blighty, and before we get into today's episodes, we're going to hear a message from our friend, the lovely Dan, over at Casting Views.
Oh, he's so lovely.
Take it away, Dan.
Take it away, Dan.
Fancy taking a humorous trip down a random topic each week? You do? Well, you're in luck. Casting Views, presented by me, Dan, and a host of guests, bring you just that. With topics from the world of entertainment, science, sport, and everyday life, there's bound to be a topic that's going to inform and amuse. Catch Casting Views every Sunday on all listening platforms now.
Porky boy nightmare. 38 degrees, 80% humidity, standing in my own backyard, begging for God to kill me. My left eye will not open. My right eye will not close. My balls are smaller than average, and yet they're a foot long.
That's some evil villain shit. Two cannibals are eating Amy Schumer, and one says, does this taste funny to you? And the other one says, no.
I mean, the cannibals are right. There's a picture of an upside-down cow on fire on the cover.
Konnichiwa.
Clips, Joey's got the charm. Together they're a duo, causing no harm. They sip on their pints as they spill the tea. No topic's too crazy, no filter is seen. Tim and Joey, they're the blokes from Blighty, talking nonsense, sarcasm nightly. Idiots by nature, but charmingly so. Everyone's tuning in just to get in. Joey's got the charm. Together they're a duo, causing no harm. They sip on their pints as they spill the tea. No topics too crazy, no filter, you see.
Stay the same, don't ever change, because I'd miss your ways. Welcome back to Two Blokes from Blighty. I am Joey Fitz. I am joined by the... Oh, I always forget to give you an adjective. The high resolution, Tim Fitzgerald. How are you doing?
I'm feeling very graphically...
astute.
Astute, yeah, sure. Sure. I don't know why. I was trying to think of the word, like an adjective word for the word fidelity, but all that kept on coming to mind was felon.
A file is what you're thinking.
I'm a graphophile. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Tim... This is a little bit different and a little bit strange because we're recording in the middle of the day, for one.
Yep.
What date is it today?
It's Tuesday the 23rd.
And when is this episode going out?
Wednesday the 24th.
Ooh, so it's going to be a bit of a shorter episode. Busy.
It's just scheduling this week.
Meant that we weren't able to do a full one, but we'll aim to give you a couple of laughs and some of our regular japes within
make
this
you
episode.
Cry,
like make cry, you horny, sweat. All of the things.
Shake.
And shit violently.
Yeah.
Tim, let's do our usual. Let's start with a pub quiz question.
Pub quiz question of the week. Not a jingle, that's a sound effect at best.
We have there is a fucking jingle, Tim.
So what's happening, because we're recording this on Craig, the Discord bot, today. I can hear when there's speech in the jingle, but not the music.
Good. So that's all you fucking need.
Brilliant. So pub quiz question of the week. How many squares does a chessboard have?
Oh, that's a great question.
Always doing the math.
It's a guess at 100.
Oh, it's not 100, but we'll come back to it at the end of the episode.
At the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Tim, what day of the week is it?
Right now it's Tuesday, but this episode's going out on Wednesday. all I could hear of that was, like, it was silent, and Joey and I were kind of miming to each other, being like, I can't hear it. And all I could hear was just the occasional boom, boom, boom. Wednesday.
How weird. I don't know why it's coming through.
Anyway, I don't know. It's going to be a frequency thing.
Together. So, Tim, there's some good days, April 24th.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there is a clear favourite in my one. So we'll start with National Administrative Professionals Day.
Solid start.
Yeah. Admin professionals. If you work in admin, today is your day. Number two, National Bucket List Day.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's always a good one.
One that I quite like, but I don't think will win, is Stop Food Waste Day.
Big, very important. Very, very important.
And my clear favourite, although a complete misunderstanding in the United States, is National Pigs in Blankets Day.
Oh, it's got to be Pigs in Blankets.
However, the picture that they've provided on the website I use is a tiny little sausage.
Yep.
Wrapped in puff pastry.
Oh, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's like a mini toad in the hole.
What is a proper pig in blanket, Tim?
A sausage wrapped in bacon.
Yes, it's a porky boy nightmare.
It is delicious, though.
Deliciously porky and wonderful.
That's what they call me.
So it's National Pig in Blanket Day.
Absolutely. Audience, go out and have a pig in blanket.
Wow, how predictable. Tim, last week you asked us to watch Life of Pi.
Yes.
So I'm going to play the jingle. Movies.
Yep, there it is. I caught some of that music.
Good, good. Tim, Life of Pi.
So you've watched it now?
Yeah, I've watched it.
Okay, cool. I should probably pull up the IMDb page for this, really. There you go. So, Life of Pi, Ang Lee movie, came out in 2012. IMDb gave it like an 8 out of 10. It's about a young man who is essentially lost at sea after a ship that he is on with his family sinks and everyone he knows dies. The only thing that's left with him is a couple of animals, one of which is a tiger called Richard
Parker.
Richard Parker, thank you.
Why is it called Richard Parker?
Because there was a mix-up on the form when the tiger was donated, and that's the only reason.
which I really liked.
Yeah, I thought it was a neat little... a lot of movies would kind of be like, oh, well, there's a big lore reason. I was like, no, it's just a fuck-up on the application. That's it. So,
do you know what they could have benefited from is National Administrative Duties Day.
They could have done. They could have done. So,
and then you would have had a tiger called Rory the Lion rather than Richard Parker.
Stripes.
Stripes.
I really struggled to like maintain focus with this movie. Okay. I thought it was a very aesthetically absolutely gorgeous, although there is some laughably bad CGI at points. Mm-hmm. But some of the shot composition, like there's one that really sticks out to me where like it's a very clear and starry night and the shot is very far away from the boat, and the boat in and the sky is just reflected, but the way it's shot is absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. There are some it's a very competently, brilliantly shot film from a cinematography perspective. I just thought the plot was a bit crap. Like,
do you know, I disagree to a degree. Right, so I when this movie starts, it talks about the life of this guy Pi, who is actually called Piscine, named after a swimming pool, but then he got the piss taken out of him by everyone calling him Pissing. So he decided he's going to show off and show how many letters, numbers he can do pi to. And everyone was like, oh, he's a maths genius. We'll call him Pi. But it starts and he lives in a zoo. His dad is the owner of this zoo. Mm. And we had a solid 5 minutes where there was no dialogue. And it was quite poorly shot images of animals in a zoo.
Yeah.
And I sat there thinking, this is going to be a long fucking watch.
Well, the other thing, this is purely on reflection, because the film is very, very, as it's beautifully shot, But there's some really bizarre editing choices, like the crossfade near Comic Sans font they use in the opening credits. Like, it's very, very entry level editing in the but in the opening credits.
My point was, I think this, I didn't like this film until the shipwreck and until it all slowed down out of the storm and it was just Pi and Richard Parker the tiger with the boat, and I found that bit fascinating. And it was really good right until the end, and they went, well, obviously that didn't happen, and he went, well, actually it's an allegory for the cook being this and my mum being this, and I thought you didn't need to do that. Like, if you use two brain cells, you can work out that this guy didn't survive for months on a boat with a tiger.
Yeah,
it is his way of dealing with a traumatic event and making it personable to something he understood in being brought up in a zoo.
Yeah.
I think that they dumbed the ending down too much for me.
Well, because the whole thing is framed up, is framed as Pi is talking to this Canadian interviewer who's, I can't remember if he's writing a book or an article.
I can't remember.
It's one of the two. And at the end of this story, when he makes it to land and he's rescued, and the tiger fucks off into the woods,
just leaves.
He's just out. We go back to the interviewer and Pi's conversation, and Pi just goes, "It sounds unbelievable, doesn't it?" And I was like, "Yes, it sounds very unbelievable."
That is because it is. But I think if they'd left it at, or even if they went, oh, that didn't happen, maybe he's using it as a way of coping with what actually happened. Because they explain, he says, this is what really happened. And then he tells the story about the hyena and the zebra and the orangutan and then the tiger coming onto the boat. And he says, that's what really happened. And then they go, we need something more believable for the insurance people, of the people who owned the cargo vessel that sank, that sparked all of this. And he tells this story. And if they left it at that, you'd go, well, actually, that makes sense, because the tiger is meant to represent his mother or whatever it happens to be.
The hostility of the cook, I think, wasn't it?
No, the cook was depicted by the hyena.
Right. And then, what was the tiger supposed to be then?
His mother.
Oh.
But I just think that if they didn't go, ooh, well, if you think about it deeply, dear cinema goer, you'll realize that we mean the tiger is his mum. And it's like, well, just stop before you get to that and just let the audience work that out. And if you have some people leaving the cinema and going, that really was a story about a man who stayed on a tiny little boat with a tiger for months on end, that's fine. Like, let them think that.
It's a bit of whimsy.
I feel like, you said, beautifully shot movie, poor start, dumbed down ending, the middle, brilliant.
Yeah.
That's what I think of Life of Pi.
So, thoughts out of 10? IMDb gave it a 7.9.
I'd give it a 6.5.
Yeah, I'm about there with you.
Yeah, so that was... Da-na-na-na-na. Movies, Tim.
Movies. What are we watching next week?
Oh, fuck, I haven't even thought about this. Next week, we are watching Gravity.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I turned around and that's one of the few DVDs I can see on my shelf behind me.
Fair enough, I'll get to that.
You get good, Tim. You should get to that. But Tim, I have put on the running order the words electric fence.
Yeah.
This isn't a story about me. You'll be sad to hear.
Oh.
However, it is a story that I heard on a news show, a radio show in New Zealand, and it had me howling. So all right. I would like to share it with you.
All right, hit me.
Thankfully, the radio station has put up the full transcript of the story that left the DJs in stitches.
All right.
And it's the same guys. You know that story about the bricklayer, bricklayer's report, which if you haven't heard, let us know in the Discord and I'll read it out on next week's show. So here's the story. We had the standard 6-foot fence in the backyard. A few months ago, I heard about burglaries increasing dramatically in the entire suburb. To make sure this never happened to me, I got an electric fence and ran a single wire across the top of the fence. Actually, I got the biggest cattle charger CRT from an Aussie rural retail store. that they had made for 26 kilometers of fence. I then used an 8-foot long ground rod, drove 7.5 foot into the ground. The ground rod is the key. The more you have in the ground, the better the fence works. One day, I'm mowing my backyard with my cheapo Bunnings 6HP mower. Just a very cheap mower.
Sure.
The hot wire is broken and laying out in the yard. I knew for a fact that I'd unplugged the charger. I pushed the mower around the wire and decided to grab it and throw it out the way. Turns out I hadn't remembered to unplug it at all. Now I'm standing there. I've got the running lawnmower in my right hand and the 1.7 gigavolt fence in the other hand.
Jesus Christ.
Keep in mind that the charger is about the size of a truck battery and has a picture of an upside-down cow on fire on the cover. Time stood still. The first thing I notice is my balls trying to climb up in the front side of my body. My ears curled downwards, and I could feel the lawnmower ignition firing in the backside of my brain. Every time that Biggs and Stratton rolled over, I could feel the spark in my head. I was literally one with the engine. It seems as though the fence charger and the POS lawnmower were fighting over who can control my electrical impulses. Science says you cannot crap, pee, and nut at the same time. I beg to differ. Not only did I do all three at once, but my bowels emptied it three different times in less than a half a second. It was the Matrix kind of bowel movement, where time is creeping along and you've leaned back and then bam, 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 you just crap your pants three times. It seems there were minutes between each, but in reality, it was so close together, it was like the electrical pulses from a big block Chevy turning 8 grand. At this point, I'm 30 minutes, or maybe 2 seconds, into holding the fence wire. My hand is wrapped around the wire, palm down, so I can't let go. I grew up on a farm, so I know a lot about electric fences, but Dad always had these POS chargers made by International or whoever, that were like 9 volts and just kind of tickled. This one I could not let go of, and at this point I'm thinking, I'm just going to have to man up and take it until the lawnmower runs out of fuel. Damn, I thought, just as I remembered, I'd just filled the tank. Now the lawnmower is starting to run rough. It had settled into a looping run pattern as if it had some kind of big lawnmower race cam inside of it. Covered in shit, piss, and balls in my chest, I think, oh God, please die, please die. But no, it settles into the lumpy cam idle nicely that sits there like a big ball roller cam EFI motor.
Don't know why.
No, I don't either. Waiting to go the command of its owner's right foot. But here I am in the middle of January, 38 degrees, 80% humidity, standing in my own backyard, begging for God to kill me. There's a little bit left. I won't be long. God did not take me that day. He left me there, covered in my own fluids, to writhe in the misery that my own stupidity had created. I honestly don't know how I got loose from the wire. I woke up laying on the ground hours later. The lawnmower was beside me, out of petrol.
I must have been going for a long time for it to be out of petrol, yeah. Though.
It was later on in the day and I was sunburned. There were 2 large dead grass spots where I'd been standing, and then another long, skinny dead spot where the wire had laid on the ground while I was holding onto it. I assumed that I'd finally had a seizure, resulting in thrashing, and somehow let go of the wire. Upon waking from my electrically induced sleep, I realised a few things, and this is incredible. 3 of my teeth seem to have melted.
Oh, okay.
I now have cramps in the bottoms of my feet and my right butt cheek. Not the left, just the right. Poop, pee, and vomit, when all mixed together, does not smell as bad as you might think.
Huh.
My left eye will not open. My right eye will not close. The lawnmower runs like a demon now. Seriously, I think our little session cleared out some carbon fouling because it's much better than new after that. My balls are smaller than average and yet they're 1 foot long. I can turn on the TV in the game room by farting whilst thinking about the number 4. I still don't understand this. That day changed my life, and I have a newfound respect for things. I appreciate the little things more, and I always triple check to make sure that the fence is unplugged when I mow. The good news is that if a burglar does come over that fence, I can clearly visualize what my security system will do to him, and that gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling all over.
I mean, fair. Yeah, that's a great story.
It's a good story.
It's amazing.
Maybe I'll just do the bricklayer one next week anyway. The bricklayer one also makes me laugh out loud.
It's very funny. A friend of mine sent me a really wild bit of I'm going to call it journalism, but it's a tweet with a bit of investigation behind it.
Is it crazy shit?
Oh, it's pretty mad shit at the minute.
Hold on then.
Oh, damn, that's crazy.
Again, I couldn't hear the drums. All I got was, oh, damn, that's crazy.
That's all you need, isn't it?
That is it. So, you know how Paris is currently in a bit of a bed bug epidemic?
No, I didn't.
Well, there you go. It's in a bit of a bed bug epidemic. And someone on Twitter, unfortunately, I can't see the Twitter handle because they're cut off by their username, did some digging and was like, apparently the bed bug situation was done by some guy on 4chan on purpose, breeding them for months and making videos, purposely releasing them into trains, hotels, and public areas he was in 5 months ago. This is some evil villain shit, because I'm going to read the post, right? Okay. So this is the post from 4chan. But what is my goal, you ask? Why do that, oh big mad bug? Well, this is where the stroke of genius arrives. My interest is twofold. First is that I hate, hate, hate France from the bottom of my guts. I hate the people who live here, and for the most part, I want the country to collapse as quickly as possible. I calculated that I have already cost more than 1 billion euros alone, and that's only taking into account the costs of treating the bed bugs, which in practice is impossible. I'll tell you right away, it comes back. Don't worry, it's dead. And without counting the cost linked to psychological problems, loss of motivation, efficiency, lack of sleep, possible work accidents, and other accidents that have occurred thanks to this.
Oh my God.
That's some evil villain shit, if that's correct.
That is some crazy shit.
Yeah.
A friend
of mine at work sent me that the other day, and I thought it was particularly interesting.
Bloody hell, that's awful.
I know, right?
Tim, we're going to speed run this and we're going to go into jokes. You ready?
Yeah, sure. That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that. That's the joke of the week.
So this is the joke of the week, where Tim and I tell each other terrible dad jokes until one of us makes the other one laugh. And when the other one laughs, that joke is declared the joke of the week, and the section is over. Tim, how many jokes do you have?
I have 10.
I have 8. So once again, I guess you can start.
Great. So how do you say sup dog in Japanese?
Don't know.
Konnichiwa.
Very. I like it.
Yeah.
Tim, you'll never guess who I bumped into on the way to my eye test.
Who?
Everyone.
Oh, that's very clever. Very, very clever. I don't understand hookup culture. On nights out, I tell them I've got a dick like a horse, and people are always willing to come home with me. They're all really flirty and eager in the taxi. But when I get home, it's all screaming and running and shouting, going, "Oh, why has it got legs?"
That is... Yeah, that nearly got me. I like that. Tim, why did the Mexican take anti-anxiety medication?
Go on.
For Hispanic attacks.
Very good. Very, very good. The accent is it close? Nearly got me.
Does that count?
No.
Okay.
Two cannibals are eating Amy Schumer, and one says, "Does this taste funny to you?" And the other one says, "No."
I mean, the cannibals are right.
Yeah.
I took a poll recently. Apparently 100% of the people in the tent were upset.
I think I know where you got that joke from, because I considered using that.
Okay.
Why don't scientists trust atoms?
I don't know. Why don't scientists trust atoms?
Because they make up everything.
Good.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a piano, a tuner, and a tube of superglue?
I don't know.
You can tune a piano, but you can't piano a tuner.
Where's the super glue come in?
I'm a little bit stuck on that.
Yeah, okay, we got the joke. I saw that as well. So, let's have a look here. So, a woman walks into... So a woman has a pet bird, and one day she found it wasn't moving, so she took it to the vet, who said, "I'm sorry, your bird is dead." "How can you say that?" she says. "You haven't even tested anything." The vet sighed and brought out a cat, and he placed the cat near the bird, and it started yowling loudly. The vet says, "I'm sorry, but your bird is dead." The woman goes, "What was that? A cat can't tell if it's dead or not. Do a proper test." And so the vet puts the cat away, goes to a different room, and comes back with a black Labrador. And as soon as it sees the bird, it starts sniffing at it, lays down and starts whining. At this point, the vet says once more and says, "I'm really sorry, but your bird is dead." The woman at this point goes, "Fine," and takes the bird, puts it in a box, and heads back to reception. The receptionist says, "I'm sorry for your loss, but today's bill will be £1,500. And she's not even crying, the woman, at this point. She's just absolutely livid and says, "What's that for? What are the charges for?" And the receptionist calmly responds, "Well, it's £500 for the emergency appointment, £500 for the CAT scan, and £500 for the lab test."
That's so bad. There was such a long lead up to it as well. Tim, have you heard about the man who teaches you how to comfortably fart in public?
No.
I'm not surprised. He's a private tutor.
That's really good. That's really good. My snooty friend always uses French words like hors d'oeuvres in his day-to-day sort of conversation, and that's just for starters.
It is. What else would it be? Yeah. I asked the waitress if she could help me with a question I had about the menu, please. She slapped me across the face and said, "The menu I please are none of your business."
Classic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely classic. Why was the math book sad?
Don't know.
Had too many problems.
That's like real cracker joke stuff, isn't it? Did you hear that Dad got fired from his job as a road worker for theft?
No.
I didn't believe it at first, but when I took him home, all the signs were there.
Okay, fuck, okay.
There we go.
That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that. That's the joke of the week. So that's the joke of the week, Joey.
Joke of the week is, Dad got fired as a road worker for theft. I couldn't believe it at first, but when I took him home, all the signs were there. Tim, did you have any others that you were desperate to read out?
No, not this week.
Okay, I had one. I asked my wife if the cup is half full or half empty, and she replied, "Stop trying on my bras." Would that have won?
Yeah, if they pop my one.
Might have won. Okay, fair enough. Tim, Jeff Goldblum, and charming people.
Yeah.
People always ask me how I pronounce my name, Goldblum or Goldblum. I always tell them the same thing. How dare you speak to me?
I think he is going to be charming. Millionaire Mike Black.
Oh. Who's Millionaire Mike Black?
Millionaire Mike Black is a guy I read about 20 minutes before we started this recording session. He is a millionaire who made himself homeless and broke on purpose to prove that he could make $1 million in 12 months on via YouTube for clicks. But now he's quit over health concerns. And it's definitely not the fact that he made only $64,000 in 10 months and would have to make another $936,000 in 60 days to get his challenge done.
64 grand in 10 months isn't bad going.
No, that's very... It's like, that alone is impressive, but it just seems awfully convenient that in the time that he's realized that he's not going to be able to make $1 million in 12 months, he backs out the challenge. And what this guy doesn't realize, or rather what I think he failed to realize when starting this, is being a millionaire doesn't just involve the monetary aspect of it. There's probably a lot of connections in there as well. So he might have had connections from when, you know, I don't know, when he had a lot more money in the bank. And these people who are homeless and broke don't have that.
They don't just choose to be broke.
Yeah. It's just it's another one of these things, like the Landlord Awards, in my opinion, that comes off as a bit tasteless and ignorant.
Did you ever see years ago? Do you remember the YouTuber Alfie Days?
The name rings a bell, but I don't know why.
He was one of these really posh vlogger Tory YouTubers, and he did the £1 in a day challenge. Could he survive on a pound for a day?
Right.
And halfway through the day, he decided that he wanted to go shopping, and he spent £60, and he said that was fine because he would have spent it on another day. And then he got a cup of coffee, and it was like, I don't think you're taking this very seriously, mate.
No.
But yeah, I think that's mad.
Yeah. Not mad shit, but it's not.
Tim, there's one more thing on this list that I would like you to tell me about. We'll save the others for next week. EDF.
Oh, right. Yep, the saga continues. Okay. So, we got it all wrapped up. Check was supposed to be coming out. £66 check.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I got another letter from them saying, final reminder, payment due.
Okay.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
So, I contacted EDF customer service again to be like, hey, I've paid off my balance. Why are you sending me this?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, we don't actually know what I've done. And credit to this person, they were just very, very good. They were honest and listened and what have you. They actually said to me that I've come through on the business line somehow, but they were, you know, they wanted to see if they could help me, which
is just so important.
Damn right. We've got a business to run here at Two Blokes from Blighty.
Two Blokes from Blighty Limited.
Yeah. And this...
Ooh, the stock price just fell to minus $60 per share.
We owe them money. so this woman was like very, very polite. She listened. She actually like took care of the issue. And I was like, she was like, I don't know why you keep getting these letters. What I'll do is I'll send the billing team an email now to be like, can you stop doing that? This person's account is completely clear. Stop it. And then she sent me a follow-up email as well to be like, hey, I've done this for you, just to confirm, you know, great, absolutely loved her. She was brilliant. Everyone else I've spoken to there has been awful. Then it finally happened. The check arrived, right? It's not £66, though.
Right.
£103.48.
What?
Yeah, the amount that was on my final bill. So they've just given me a check.
Are you going to question it?
No, I've already given it to the bank today.
Well, fuck it then.
Yeah. Well, that's hopefully the end of the EDF saga. But that's all it was that I got another letter, and then
I can almost guarantee that they're going to get in touch with you saying you owe us £40.
Nah,
we overpaid you. You owe us £40. I guarantee it.
It'll be fine.
Mm. Tim, any shout outs before we finish this micro episode of Two Blokes and Blighty?
Yeah, let me find out. Let me find a Discord user. Discord user. Discord user of the week is gonna be Luke from the Nerdstalgic Pod.
Hey.
There you go. Good old Luke. Good old Luke.
I'm gonna shout out three different things. One is Talking Smack.
Yep.
Forget about it. What a guy. Go listen to Talking Smack. If only just to hear Josh's beautiful tones in your ears every week. Then it's Dan from Casting Views and Just Football. Halfway through the latest Just Football is very interesting if you like football or soccer. And then finally, there's a guy I work with called Joe Guntrip. And
hell of a name.
He has just completed 10 marathons in 10 days to raise money for charity, and he finished it with the final marathon being the London Marathon, and he completed that in just over 3 hours, which is fucking mental. He ran from Manchester to London in the lead up to this 10 marathons in 10 days. So shout out to Joe.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, it's crazy impressive. But yeah, shout out to him. And Tim, let's do your pub quiz question of the week, and then let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, a pub quiz question of the week. The question was, how many squares are on a chessboard?
Okay. So I was wrong with 100. Is it? Is it 64?
God, geez, that's right. That takes some big brain work.
Thank you. My big wet brain is in full force here.
Something gross about the idea of a wet brain.
You don't want a dry brain.
Well, no, I know, but somehow wet is worse.
Yeah. Tim, anything you want to give, say to the listeners?
Take that, you bastards.
Share that, you sexy bitches. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so I was wrong with 100. Is it 11 times 11 is. Oh my God, I'll edit this out because I look stupid.
Leave the question in.
122.
No, it is not 122.
Go on.
It is 64.
8 by 8. That doesn't seem enough.
Well, that's it. If you consider how many back row pieces there are.
Okay, hold on, Tim. I'm going to go, is it 64? And then I'm going to edit that in.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty seamless.
Can you say, wow, you're so clever, you're correct?
That's right. That takes some big brain work.
Thank you. My big wet brain is in full force here.
Something gross about the idea of a wet brain.
You don't want a dry brain.
Well, no, I know, but somehow wet is worse.
Yeah.